Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Time for a little Celtics Wednesday talk with Mego. Good morning and hello.
Good morning. How is everyone? Great morning for Courtney.
Yep.
Great. Yeah, listening on the way in.
Yeah. Is your significant other listening?
I guess he is. I think he's being a real soldier this morning and taking the dog out. Usually I have morning dog duty.
Yeah.
And I think it's like 15 degrees outside. Yeah. So thank you. Thank you, honey.
And everything's good there. You're happy. Some aren't happy with it.
I'm very happy.
Okay.
I'm already sleeping on the couch. So please.
No.
Did you get a text saying it's good?
Uh-oh.
He didn't say that, but I'm sure I'm not welcome in the bed tonight.
I was saying before, I was telling Courtney, I am one of those people who has really bad spatial measurement awareness, so I can only measure things by a football field, and
she needs all the help she can get.
No,
so
I
she
don't
appreciates
need any help.
You saying that.
I'm
right.
very happy and secure in my sex life, and that's all that matters.
Courtney said there's plenty of room in the bed. I don't know what she meant by that.
Walking around here,
he's never coming to
he's
another
like,
road
I was
show
in the
like
pool,
ever.
Courtney.
Well, it's your fault.
I know it is. Yeah. Fully my fault.
Yeah.
And Liggy's.
Right. Well, we were talking earlier about this team and what they are. And I think whatever the number is, 100 minutes maybe, over a handful plus a couple fingers of games that the starters have played together. Is that an explanation for, when you look at them and go, why did they lose that game? Is it from your perspective, because you're there all the time watching them?
So I think that there's some of that if the lineup wasn't together, if you have these nights, if they had lost the first two games of this 4-game road trip against Minnesota and Houston, if they had lost one of those where they didn't have Jaylen Brown, I'd say, well, come on, guys, like these guys aren't even in their rotations together. I just don't like the excuse of everybody was healthy and that's why they lost to OKC. That I cannot accept. I understand that basketball is a rhythm sport and these guys need to get in rhythm with their rotations, with the starting five together, and then the three off the bench. But at the same time, I'm just not going to give that excuse. I don't think it's logical, right?
When it comes to Kristaps last night with the rebounds specifically, it seems like he is more comfortable. I get it that he's still coming back from an injury, but it seems like he's more confident and comfortable with his recovery. I don't know if you saw that from him. He did go down at one point. And that was worrisome, but it seems like he's on the way up.
Yeah, I feel like everybody's being very ginger with Kristaps Porzingis this year because he's coming back from that injury and he only played 14 games up until last night. So I feel like it's just kind of hard to ballpark anything that's going on with him right now. And I think everybody's just hypersensitive because anytime he goes down, anytime he springs up, especially with a soft tissue injury, you're like, oh God, there's the Kristaps that you signed. There's the Kristaps that you knew. I agree with you. I feel like he's getting back into form. And obviously when he's out there, he stretches the floor. So he improves everything that they want to do from a 3-point perspective. I think it's just, quite frankly, it's hard to watch right now and not like expecting impending doom all the time.
And I get it in the Twitch chat. Somebody says, who cares? It's the regular season. Nobody cares about what happens in the NBA regular season.
I'm with you. Who the hell cares? There's not a team that's going to beat this.
Okay, but
Celtics
there are trends.
Team.
You can identify trends.
Yeah, but even with the trends, right? So look at their trend. They had a really good road trip.
But their trend is when you base a team entirely on a 3-point offense and you're not hitting your threes, then that's an issue for a basketball team.
Yeah, I think it's interesting when you look at some of the individual cases of the 3-point shooting on this team. Drew Holiday, Kristaps Porzingis, Sam Hauser, Jaylen Brown, they're all pretty well under their percentage from last year. And what all those guys have in common is that they've been in and out of the lineup with various injuries. Kristaps way more than anybody. So I do think like there's trends there. You can't just point at it and say, oh, look, the rest of the league figured out the 3-point shooting. I think unless the rest of the league is full of morons, they knew that the 3-point shooting was the strategy about 12 games into last season, especially since Joe Mazzulla said it after just about every other game in post-game press conferences to Gary Washburn. So I do think some of this is, yes, there are like rhythms to the season. I'm not going to give the Celtics credit for a loss when everybody's healthy and say they're just not used to each other. But I am going to look at those individual cases and say, well, somebody like Sam Hauser, who had a lingering back injury throughout most of the start of this season, he's not up to his 40%+ from 3-point line because he's getting back into that.
Jason Tatum, Eastern Conference Player of the Week, the only guy to win that a couple times this season so far. Where is he in the MVP conversation right now? Would you guess?
So the latest Kia MVP ladder, the official one that the NBA puts out, had him at 4. And he was at 5 the week previously. I think that he's still going to finish around the 3 or 4 spot. And I know people feel like that's ridiculous because it's the top NBA team in the Celtics, even though it's not like rankings wise. But most people would agree they're the most talented team. I just continue to look around the league and a game like the other night against OKC, where it's him straight up against SGA. Like, I just don't think that's going to help his case when he drops that game.
Did a great job on Anthony Edwards.
Yes, he
last
did.
Thursday night, both physically and mentally, it seemed like.
Well, he's not going to get it because of the talent he has around him. That's the only reason why. You know, they'll probably end up giving it to the Joker again because of what, you know, he's able to do. Like, but if you look at like Tatum's road numbers here over the past,
really good,
ridiculous.
He's better on the road this season than he is at home, and he's great at home, but he's like, it's a, as you noted, Wiggy, like it's a big difference. It's like at least a 5-point difference last time I checked.
This team, like that, Greg, that's what they are though. They're gonna shoot the threes, and more often than not, those shots are going to fall. So that's why it's going to be very difficult to beat them in a 7-game series and beat them 4 times, because they'll shoot 50, they'll average 50 through the series, and they're going to have multiple nights where they're shooting 38-39% from 3-point land, and that's what they do.
Also, side note, Anthony Edwards whining after that game about he doesn't want to be in the league if they're going to double him and he just has to pass the basketball. Like, how's the team attitude going there?
So Anthony Edwards, Minnesota's in a weird spot. Like, this is one thing I'd say that goes very much in the Celtics' favor, at least as we stand here today. There is not the dysfunction that you see with a lot of these other teams. It's not just Anthony Edwards. Look at the evolving Jimmy Butler situation. That is completely bizarre. And so I think, like, you look at that and you go, Anthony Edwards can be a really exciting superstar. I know some people aren't as enthusiastic about Jason Tatum, but at least he got the steadiness here.
Yeah. Do you think that's a credit to Joe Mazzulla for keeping everybody in line?
I think it's a credit to the entire organization. I think it's just kind of how they roll. Like, they're a very professional organization. They haven't always been as steady in terms of some of the guys that have been in and out of that locker room. But who
I know you
right
love Marcus
now.
Smart, but
okay, that's not who I was talking about, Courtney.
Well, I'm just
Marcus was issues. A great there were Celtic.
Issues. He was, but there were issues.
See, I think
Courtney. I don't know. Maybe we should go back to some measurement conversation.
I don't. We're all done with that. We're all done with the measurement conversation.
You forget Marcus. He's not even here. He hasn't been here for years.
Yeah, I'm dead.
No, but I think with this Celtics team, the thing that really, to me, Mego, that sets them apart from everybody else is the fact that they have, on any given night, they have guys like Derek White, Drew Holiday, Porzingis, who can lead the team in scoring, who can go out there and score 28, 25, 27. And then you're always going to have Tatum and Brown. When you start to look at the teams and I say, like, who worries you? Like, they're, like, even with OKC,
mm-hmm.
all right, you got SGA. I'm not really concerned about Chet.
Chet Holmgren?
Yeah, I'm not really concerned with him. Like, they're a good basketball team, and I think they play good defense, but they're not going to beat the Celtics in a seven-game series. And who else is going to threaten them? We already talked about the dysfunction in some of those other places, like Milwaukee, I think, has a lot of dysfunction, even though they got Giannis and Dame Lillard. So when you look at the Celtics and where they are, I don't have any concerns whatsoever.
Where are, as our Celtics insider here at WEI, mm-hmm. have you heard anything at all about the sale of the franchise?
All quiet. All quiet.
What does that mean? They're not getting the money that they want?
I wonder how much, and this is just speculation, it is the just complications of the finances of the sale, because you've got all these different factors where you don't have, obviously, the arena. You don't have property that you're attaching to the sale. You have these impending salary numbers that are going to be really heavy on you the next couple years. And so you're looking at it and going, how do you ensure that whoever buys this team is not going to be operating at a loss over the next couple years? Like, from a business perspective, everybody's out there. You have the league pushing, you have owners pushing, wanting this to be upwards to $6 billion.
$6 billion dollar sale.
No.
I don't care if you're Bezos, you're not going to pay $6 billion when you don't own the building.
So I think, but of course, the other owners want that. And so I have to imagine that there's also a contingency around Boston that really wants PAGS to be the leadership of whatever group comes in and buys it. And so I think it's just a more complicated sale than maybe a lot of people looking from the outside thought when they announced it last summer, of who wouldn't want to buy the world champs, who wouldn't want to buy the Celtics, who are one of these foundational franchises of a league. Like, it's just a lot more complicated.
And they're probably, I wonder if they're torn, because you said with PAGS, they're probably looking at it, and he's probably knowing all the issues and going, okay, I'll buy it, but at a lesser price. And where somebody who might be out there, Bezos, or somebody who's completely detached from ownership now, looks at it and goes, I'm not giving you that price until, because you made a great point, until you secure a piece of land somewhere that you can tie into this deal for me to build a new arena, wherever that is in, you know, Massachusetts, Natick, I don't care, wherever it is, the new owner's got
to
say.
Know, when it comes to billions, from the outside, it might look like six, but when you actually, when you get closer to it, it's actually four.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And that's a lot.
You know what I'm saying?
$2 billion is massive.
Seven is
dominated
nuts,
the world.
Chime, delete it.
Can I just save Courtney for a second?
Yes.
And Mego's Celtics, but sports expert on all topics. I just am reading the first. We were wondering when the Bob Holering of Gerard Mayo would begin.
Yes.
The Athletic, New York Times, Chad Graff has a story that I just started to read. A couple of interesting nuggets. One, after the Patriots had a brutal loss in the Arizona game, they flew back from Arizona to Providence's airport. And generally speaking, Wiggy, you would know, coaches sit in the front, players toward the back.
Yeah.
The assistant coaches stayed in front. Gerard Mayo was in the back of the plane playing cards with the players after that game. Miffing, or players were miffed by that.
Get out of here.
Yes, that's Chad Graff.
Wow.
And then another one in this story is that while we all heard that Steve Belichick was offered the opportunity to remain on the staff.
Yeah,
what we weren't told was that he was asked to get a demotion, that Covington was going to be the play caller. Steve Belichick could be on the staff, but he would no longer be the defensive coordinator.
Interesting. Who do you want as the next head coach here?
I want Vrabel.
You do?
Yeah, I do. I know people are really excited about Ben Johnson and what he could bring in.
Ben Johnson and, over everything.
I know, Shime. I've seen all your posts. I know people are excited about what he could bring with Drake May, but I just don't have the appetite to go from another rookie head coach to another rookie head coach.
Yeah. Are you confident?
I don't think Santo wants us talking about Ben Johnson.
Right.
I believe it's Ben's Johnson.
I guess I can see Shime's point just a little bit. So I would ask you, are you confident that with Vrabel, he hires the right guy on offense?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I am. I think Mike Vrabel got such a raw deal in Tennessee. And when you see them ousting their GM yesterday, it's just apparent the dysfunction down in that franchise. And so I look at it and I think, Vrabel, if you are the Crafts and you looked over this last season and said, ooh, this everything by committee turns out it was really hard to execute week to week and build a program over a year. You want to turn to somebody who's going to bring in and immediately install a program like Jim Harbaugh did with the Chargers. And I think out of all your candidates, Vrabel or Flores are the guys that can come in immediately and do that. Now, people out there are going to say, I don't want anything to do with Belichick. I don't want anything to do with a retread from the Patriots. I just think that's a simplification. I think that's kind of idiotic. Also, I understand that there's a lot of coaches that were assistants under Belichick and people are tired of retreads or whatever they want to call it. But why are you throwing the baby out with the bathwater? Like, it's kind of weird to me that people are like, I don't want anything from those 20 years of success. Get it out of here and move on.
It was awful.
Will the Crafts let him do that, though?
Yes. I very much think so. Like, all this fuss about Elliot Wolf is still on right now. Elliot Wolf is still... Yeah, the guy has a contract with the team. Like, they're going to bring in a head coach and then decide what they do based on that coach's vision. But I do think that they're going to probably be more willing to hand over the reins to somebody who comes in and says, this is how the organization across the board should run, and we're going to run it this way. This is our vision.
Mego, thank you.
Anytime.
Go Commanders.
Go Commanders. Big game. Big game, guys. Sorry, Baker Mayfield. It's time.
Can they win this football game?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Baker Mayfield.
Okay. All right.
I love Baker Mayfield.
I know you do.
He would be
more than Jaden?
No, Jaden's good, but Baker Mayfield is probably fourth in MVP voting because of the season that he's having. You got to give the kid credit.
He's tremendous.
I like Jaden as well. But you know, when it comes to like playoffs, one guy's got a little bit more experience.
I believe Bill wanted him instead of Mac, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Mego.
Thanks, guys.
Here is Courtney with What is Trending.
Now, here's What's Trending on WEEI.
Trending now, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. The Bruins get shut out on home ice as the Oilers get the win 4-0. Jeremy Swayman had 32 saves in the loss.
I love when I get the furrowed brow from Curtis. Am I not right about that, Curtis?
No, I misheard it.
I thought the furrowed brow.
Can see my furrowed brow.
I can.
Okay. I was curious. I thought you said Jaden over Mac instead of Jaden Mac over Mayfield.
No, I did not say that.
No.
That was all? Didn't say anything?
Yeah. Baker Mayfield.
The Celtics got a win last night in Denver, beating the Nuggets 118-106, thanks to a 15-0 run after the teams were tied at 93 with 8:30 to play. Jason Tatum led the way with 29 points, while Kristaps Porzingis right behind him with a double-double, 25 points and 11 rebounds for him. Jokic and Gordon didn't play in this one. The Seas end the road trip 3-1. A firing in Las Vegas, the Raiders have fired Antonio Pierce after just one full season as their head coach. Pierce took over as the interim head coach in 2023, and yesterday the Patriots announced they had completed head coaching interviews with both Byron Leftwich and Pep Hamilton. Sources are saying that they plan to interview Mike Vrabel tomorrow. And start the new year risk-free with Awaken 180. No subscriptions, no hidden fees, just a proven plan to crush your goals. Have 20 to lose. You could reach that by February. Have more. Do the math. Then go to awaken180weightloss.com. And it is now time to put someone in timeout.
You're in timeout. Let's find out who's getting a timeout this week. Brought to you by Timeout Market, Boston's best eating and drinking destination in the Fenway, all under one roof. Timeoutmarket.com.
Mine's easy this week. I'm putting the media in timeout after how they dealt with the Drake May situation yesterday. Or Monday. Monday. Didn't like it.
Okay.
All right. Mine's is simple. I am putting the Crafts in timeout for the way that they did Mayo dirty and that whole handling of it. And if you are going to apologize and say, we put this guy in a position, maybe he was a little bit inexperienced, but we didn't help him anyway when it came to giving him pieces for him to be successful.
Okay. Anybody else?
I'm putting the Bruins front office in timeout. Shine, like, what are we doing? This team is a mess.
Yeah. right.
I'm putting all the people who, whether it was last year in 2023 or in this story with Chad Graff, the people that don't have the balls to put their names behind what they say, I hate that this. It's fine. I get it. And if I'm a reporter, I would report it. I'm not ripping anybody. But it does show the organizational rot, the amount of people the last several years that have decided to anonymously say how they feel instead of saying it directly.
Yeah. That one is crazy. One text message for a timeout. I don't want to do it, but this is from my man, Santo. Said, could you put Courtney in timeout?
I am in timeout. Experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Timeout Market Boston. Nestled in the Fenway, from live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Timeout Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Well, we're all in Courtney's bedroom because it is ice cold. 6 degrees right now. Feels like that afternoon high, 15.
We'll see if we got any good Hill notes next. And then Red Sox pitcher Liam Hendricks will join us at 9.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
40. All right, right now, a feature we stole from Wolfman Jack, in which listeners can use technology to make a comment. And we call it Hill Notes. You can simply leave a comment anytime, day or night, on the Odyssey app. You just look for the microphone on the Odyssey app. It says leave a voice note, and then you leave a voice note. Sean, are you ready? These are the best of the best?
Yep, I am ready, Greg.
Okay, best of the best. Let them roll.
Hey, Hillman. When you and a little lady go and pinch off a loaf, does she wear a T-shirt that says DMs and... You wear a T-shirt to say, ATMs, inquiring minds would like to know.
In love, sir. That's has nothing one. To do with money or anything else.
Good morning. Is it just me, or is it every time Greg does a live read, it sounds like it's to a soundtrack to a 1970 porn?
That is true. Yeah. It's a Beastie Boys, I think. Am I currently using Beasties?
Yes, you are, Greg.
We could switch that up. Also... alternate name I almost chose for my sourdough starter, the Yeasty Boys.
Oh, that would have been a good one.
That's is that
good
better one. Than Sir Bread Zeppelin? Yeah.
That makes me think of like a yeast infection, though.
Yeah.
What I need to reinvest in this New England Patriots team is for Robert Kraft to step down and Jonathan Kraft to take over. At that point, they will get my interest again.
All right. I don't think that's interesting.
That's widely held there.
Yeah, I don't know that that's...
Oh, by the way, I got confirmation on my report yesterday about Mayo and Belichick not talking. Chad Graff later in the story noted that Belichick stopped talking altogether to multiple members of his already small coaching staff, cutting off communication with anyone perceived to be less than entirely loyal to him.
Hmm. Well, I think we sort of got a confirmation on he and Bill O'Brien not speaking for... at the end of that season. Am I correct about that?
Well, Bill told us that was not true.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Bill was like, that's straight up cap, all lies.
Yeah.
I feel like the Red Sox and the Patriots are reading from the same script. They're in the offseason. They're, we're all in, or we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to spend money. But in the end, we all end up getting disappointed.
I mean, this whole Vladdy G thing, is that the Red Sox spinning that so they don't have to spend money on Bregman?
Yes.
That...
Ding, ding, ding.
Yes?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I hate to think that.
Right.
Well, what have they made you? What have they done that has you believe what they say?
They ain't spend no money.
Sam Kennedy guaranteed a win number of 95, did he not?
I can't.
I mean, their wins will be better now with the kid Garrett Crochet. But if you're still looking for, I mean, first was Bregman. I think there's still reports out there, Pete Alonso. Yeah. I mean, there's the Vlad Guerrero Jr. thing. That's been going on since the whole Juan Soto, when he liked the picture of him, Devers, and Juan Soto in Red Sox uniform. So,
Hillman, is it me? Or every time the male anatomy is mentioned, Courtney lights right up. Have a great day, guys.
I haven't noticed that.
No.
But... I don't know that she...
Courtney will be not... I won't be speaking of the male anatomy anytime soon.
Yeah, no. What are you going to have to do? Like, do you make dinner or...
I think the damage has been done, unfortunately. I feel bad.
Shine, maybe your mama had a mandula abrangada.
A little water boy there.
Love it.
Well, mama said...
I ran into DMs the other night at Joanne Fabrics. We were discussing some projects that she's thinking about doing with you. I guess in the month of February, she's thinking about you guys doing crocheting.
Nope. Just decided to make some bread together.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a decision that we both made together, collaboratively.
Yep.
Always.
Collaboratively.
Yep.
So I was just wondering why no one asked the question, what happens if the test dose does work in the office?
Good question.
That's how they do it. Northeast Men's Health, you sit right there and wait for it to work.
What do you think about Northeast Men's Health, Courtney?
I think it's great for people that need it.
Greg, Brad Zeppelin is looking nice. What's going to happen to you if you don't feed it? Are you going to die?
Howdy, Hill fans. Boy, do I have a stat for you today. Guess who's fifth in importance on the show, fourth in billing, but first in takes given and time talked? You guessed it. It's Chris Curtis. CeCe also leads the league in stones thrown while living in a glass house.
I like that guy.
That's a, that was interesting.
It was the same one as yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that guy's good.
Yeah. And I would say you've called twice about me.
That was great.
Yeah, that was at the NBA
yeah.
My name's Bill. I'm from Haverhill, now living in Charleston, South Carolina. I'm a chef, and just want to comment on the use of Chef's Kiss. Please stop using it the way you use it. I'm waiting for someone to come in the morning and say, God, I woke up this morning, had a bowel movement. Oh, chef's kiss. And Greg, stop with the food comments. You're not a chef. You're a radio host announcer.
I don't really say chef's kiss as much as I
no,
used
not
to.
No more.
No, that got changed.
Kind of put that on the back burner.
So 2022.
Yeah. Morning, Greg, Courtney, Wiggy, Curtis, Shime Jackson. The sooner the better. Looking forward to spring training down here in Fort Myers. If I were you guys, I would try to do a remote for the whole month of February, but that's just me.
Yeah,
same.
That would be a good idea. We will be there last week of February.
Yeah, enjoying the weather.
We're doing a pregame down there, I think, one night.
Oh,
so
we are.
We'll meet a bunch of we did it last year, and a whole ton of you came out, and we were shocked.
That was
so
crazy.
We will do that again last week of February. Anything else?
Okay. Hey, Greg, it's Herbert here. All this talk of sourdough is getting me excited, and it reminded me. I got some of the best sourdough in town. I keep it here in my pocket, so.
One of the great characters in television, I think, certainly.
Mike Shue used to do a new intro every month, and it always rocked. Step it up, kid.
We'll have a new intro. We will definitely have a new intro. He's right. Mike Shue used to do one every single month.
Ooh,
wow.
Which was a lot of work, and he did a great job on
Step it up, Sean.
Yeah, Mike's great. You know, I'm not Mike Shue.
We understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And you told the listeners to shut up earlier.
Nope, I'm not Jelani Tavai. Well, yeah, I did tell him one guy to shut up. But,
all right, is that it?
I got one more for
one
you.
One more, okay.
Mr. Sensitivity Curtis, had to go check the files about Odyssey to see who has the number one show on the channel. Oh, little sensitive Curtis, you had to let us know, right?
Oh, I appreciate that he did. I didn't even know it.
I mean, it was actually Ken Laird who told us, totally unprovoked.
Information that I didn't know. I appreciate it, Curtis.
I mean, I thank you and everybody else.
Keep track of the voices, because that could be X-Bear.
Oh, yeah, that could
That's
be
a good
X-Bear.
Point.
You're right about that.
Now, let's, you know, if he does another voice Hill note about ratings or something along those lines.
You'll know it's X-Bear, yeah. All right. Those are Hill notes. Liam Hendricks of the Boston Red Sox next. With us right now, a man who has been very kind to this radio program since we met him nearly a year ago in Fort Myers, Florida, Liam Hendricks of the Boston Red Sox. Hello, Liam.
Hey, how we doing?
How you doing?
I'm doing great, other than getting accustomed to this Boston weather, which I just came from Arizona. Slightly different.
Well, slightly different down under as well, I'm assuming. Is there wind? I don't even know. I sound like an idiot. Is there snow in Australia?
Yeah, in the mountains. I mean, you have to go searching for it, but it's not uncommon. It's just it's not where I'm from.
Well, isn't it your summer right now too? Like your summer is our winter.
Yeah, so it's about 100 degrees right now back home. It's perfect beach weather. Yeah, so it's always nice when on Christmas Day you fire up the barbecue and you hang outside in the patio.
Yeah, well, don't worry about it. It warms up here right about May 1st, so don't worry about it. I'm sure you've been paying attention to the off season and some additions that have been made here. How are you feeling about things so far?
Look, I'm excited. I've reached out to them all just to make sure, like, anything I can ask, answer about Boston or anything like that. Even though I'm somewhat the new guy, I want to make sure we build that rapport. But obviously being able to play with Crochet back in 2021, being in the bullpen with him out there was fantastic. And he's a guy who's great for my self-esteem because he giggles at everything. So it's fantastic for me. Texting with Bueller. I mean, I'm excited. I think it's going to be a great team. We have a lot of high upside, a lot of high swing and miss stuff, which is one thing I think they were really focusing on this offseason. So a lot of positives in that. It's obviously a little bit more of a volatile couple pitches that they've added, but it's part and parcel. You pay the cost of the entry fee, and the entry fee is a high upside guy and a little volatile every now and then, but I think it's definitely ticking up as far as the pitching staff goes.
Liam, there's been coaching changes with the Bruins, with the Patriots, and the theme has been losing a locker room. When you look at your manager and Alex Cora coming off a season that didn't go, I'm sure, the way anybody wanted it to go, do you feel like his message is still as strong when it comes to your clubhouse?
Without a doubt. I mean, I have full faith in AC, but you also look at it from the point of view is what everyone was saying at the start of last year was we were going to finish fifth in the division. We were not going to have a winning record. We wouldn't even be close to 500. And that's what AC was able to do. He was able to pick up those little bits and pieces here and there to get us to a 500 team. Yeah, we faltered down the stretch a little bit, but it wasn't as if it was a complete lack of anything going on. It was like we just ran out of gas, and that's where I almost think it was the best case scenario for us. We really showed what we could do in the first half and showed what our potential was, and then in the second half, we showed what our weaknesses were. We showed where we need to work on something and we need to add and bring in guys. So it was always a really good season last year. Obviously, not making the playoffs sucks and all that sort of stuff, but from a future point of view, I think it was actually really beneficial to get that season out of the way. And now we have an opportunity to add and hopefully push for this division title this year.
Yeah, I mean, we as fans might not call that the best case scenario. Like, we would prefer that you're in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, but if you're not in the playoffs, you have to be able to take some sort of positive spin from everything. And I think that was one thing that we were able to get. Look, I think at the start of the year, if we were even in the mix for a 500 team, there would have been people saying that they were outperforming.
Yeah.
And that's just one thing. I think we definitely outperformed the projections at the start of the year. So, I mean, you can't just say like, oh, yeah, they're meant to be not in the playoffs. And then, we didn't make the playoffs. So it's a lost year. I think it's you can't have your cake and eat it too.
Liam, so when the Sox failed to get Soto and allegedly offered $700 million, do you call Breslow and like, hey, can I get the suite on the road now that we're not spending that money?
That was not quite. I was more annoyed that I wasn't involved in the discussions because I feel like I'm an integral part of this front office now because as a ploach of last year, I think I think I should have had a say. But look, it's the fact that they were in that market. I mean, I don't care what team you are. If you have the ability to financially support that decision, you got to go for him because that's a generational type player. He's a guy that can completely change the form of a lineup with what he's able to do. Both even if he's not hitting, he's walking. Even if he's not getting on, like even if he's not doing what he's doing, the Soto things, he still gets on base damn near the best since what Barry Bonds or anything like that. So, look, I was very interested in how that market played up, and now it's you pick it up, you move on, and we've added a couple pieces, especially that rotation and a couple bullpen arms that have some high swing and miss stuff. And look, I'm excited to get to camp and get a chance to meet these guys in person rather than just over text. But I'm excited for the season. And let's be honest, the Red Sox, we play better than the sum of our parts. That's for damn sure.
Liam, you talk about expectations. When you start to look at this year with the additions that you've talked about with this rotation, especially, you know, the potential of a guy like Garrett Crochet, offensively, even last year you guys were in the top 10 in most, you know, of the categories when it comes to hitting. What's the expectations this year? Is it expectations we have a legitimate playoff team because of the moves we made, especially with the rotation?
Yeah, I think if you look at it, as you said, we had a top 10 offense in baseball last year. And we've lost a couple guys. That's going to hurt a little bit. But we're also expecting guys to take those little steps forward like Jaron Duran did last year. A full healthy season from Cassis. Hopefully a full healthy season from Story, and having his not only offensive side but his defensive side in there as well. And that's one thing. And then not moving Sedan around a little bit. Hopefully he's able to stabilize himself in center. And he's able to kind of get into a little bit of routine where he's not chopping and changing. Because even the best guys in the world, it does affect them when they keep changing positions as far as defensively. So having him stuck in a certain place will be great. But yeah, I think it's an exciting time to be here because of what we've done, and we saw what we're deficient in. Now, are we done yet? I don't think so.
Ooh, okay.
Speaking of Story, we got a look on social media into the second annual Story Camp. Are you planning on going there? And it looks like a nice facility that Trevor's put together.
Yeah, I mean, I've only seen as much as you guys have. But yeah, it's what he's been able to do, it's pretty special. I think he's definitely done his work and his due diligence on trying to get there. And I'm hoping it can finally pay dividends to him having a full healthy year as well.
Where do you stand on the golden bat rule?
I think it's terrible. Because it's only going to come in when those high-leverage late-inning relievers are out there. You're not going to get it in the second inning against the starter. You're going to get it in the seventh, eighth, ninth when you got the leverage guys out there. You're already giving them enough things. You're already making us – you've given us the pitch clock, which as far as just having a breather, we don't get a timeout, which sucks. But – you're limiting the time in between commercials for us to run in and get all that. So you already, everything is a slowly incremental thing and just destroying relievers. But look, at the end of the day, whoever's in the box, it doesn't matter to me. If they implement it, I'm still going to go get them out anyway. If it was the nine hole guy or their best hitter, doesn't matter.
So when you look at, you know, some of the guys that might be available out there, have you went to front office and made some pitches for guys like maybe a Bregman or a Pete Alonso, you know, some offensive bats? Is there a guy out there that you've said, hey, this is a guy you might want to go in to get that could help us out?
No, I haven't gone to the front office or anything like that. I think that's I do not envy what the GM has to go through, especially in a team like Boston every year, every offseason, because you're the Boston Red Sox. You're meant to be doing stuff. You're meant to be making those splashy moves. But yeah, I don't envy his role at all. Now I've reached out to a couple of guys and been like, hey, what do you got? Anything I can ask you about Boston before you even say no or anything like that? So I'm doing my due diligence trying to reach out about guys who maybe fits, may not be. But at the end of the day, everyone's got their own path. Everyone's got their own journey. And look, I'm hoping it works out and we get a couple guys coming here. But look, I think something. We'll see what happens.
Well, you're going to get to hear it from all the fans and hang out and meet everybody on Saturday for Fenway Fest. And I know that there's a lot of guys that are coming. You're looking forward to the opportunity to talk baseball with some Red Sox fans?
Yeah, I'm excited. Obviously, I haven't had a Fan Fest or Fenway Fest. Obviously, this is my first Fenway Fest, but I haven't had a fan convention or fandom like this since 2019. In Oakland. So I'm actually excited for this because I enjoy this stuff. I enjoy seeing the fan base come out. I enjoy meeting people, the kids, the giveaways, all this sort of stuff. I think it's a great opportunity for fans to see behind the curtain a little bit as far as the players' personalities a little bit more rather than just seeing them on the field and maybe grabbing them here and there. But no, I'm excited for it. It's going to be a great weekend. I'm excited and hopefully my wrist is up to scruff and hopefully I get an opportunity to sign a bunch of autographs because it is an opportunity for us. I mean, if I've been in some fan fests where no one even gives you the time of day and you're sitting there twiddling your thumbs because you're sitting next to Justin Morneau or Joe Mauer. So this will be hopefully people come and ask me for my autograph.
Besides the weather, which you brought up, what's been the hardest thing to get used to about being in Boston?
Traffic. I think they had a news report yesterday that it said traffic in Boston is actually better than it used to be, which, yeah, I don't quite believe, but I'm going from downtown to Fenway, so it's, yeah, it's that. I think I'm running out of juice on my horn right now in my car, so it's I need to top that one up. But, yeah, I think that's one of the biggest ones where it's just randomly you'll be stuck at a set of lights for 15 minutes. I'm going a mile and a half. How does it take me 45 minutes?
Bike lanes.
It's terrible.
No.
I've got my electric scooter, but it's, I got my scooter and I got my helmet and I cruise through that, but I do not trust it riding around on night games.
Around here, we don't want pitchers on bikes or
No. I'm saying we need
or on scooters. Please,
I'm saying we need to get rid of
them. Even if they're different.
Even if they're on sale,
Liam, we need to get rid of those bike lanes. That's what's causing the traffic. That's what I'm saying. Get rid of them damn things.
I would say get rid of the mopeds who do all the Uber Eats, but that's the only way I survive. So I can't do that.
You guys ever have you ever seen guys that order Uber Eats to the clubhouse?
Yes, actually. One of our guys has a very big, he has the same order every time he starts. So I've seen that happen before. I always get skeeved out because I'm like, what do I tell him? Just like gate D? Like, what am I meant to do here?
What's the order?
It's a Chipotle order every time, every start day for this particular guy. And yeah, that's what he does. I mean, if it's on the road, at home, it doesn't matter. He's getting Chipotle.
Yeah. How does the Uber Eats guy
right.
find his way when it comes to getting in the clubhouse? Do they bring him right in? He drops it, or
it's in the notes. You have to put in the notes like meet me.
Yeah, I don't know. I that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know. I'll Uber Eats stuff to the hotel before I get on the bus to go to the field. That's usually with me and my coffee. But yeah, I don't know about getting to the stadium because it's just like, you know, there's too many gates. There's too many ways in. Some stadiums you're not even allowed in the general vicinity early. Like, it's just, yeah. Especially if you're rolling in like a full scooter mask, that may throw some red flags up.
I would think Chipotle is a risky order when you when you have to pitch too. I mean, it goes right through you.
Unless you get it clean.
I mean, I can't talk. My pregame meal was the last couple of years I've been healthy, was a Philly cheesesteak and hot sauce and French fries and a Dr. Pepper. So I can't talk.
No, not really. My recommendation would be to tell whoever the guy is to have one of the rookies bring it on their way to the state. That's what I used to do when I was a rookie playing.
I'm sure you did. That's bullying.
I had to pick up Keyshawn's Popeyes.
The rookies have to get this so early that he's coming later. It's going to be cold. It's going to be gross. It's like, and those bowls don't handle better. They can't sit that long.
Oh, I didn't know the rookies got there early. That's why.
That was bowls that you said. The Australian accent confused Courtney.
Yeah, bowl. B-O-W-L-S.
All right. Well, it's going to be exciting Saturday. Ken and Curtis will be there doing their show.
Yep, bring Chipotle, whatever you need.
I'm sure you are excited because we spoke to you at spring training and you were ready to get healthy, and it sounds like you are and you're raring to go.
Yeah, ready to go, ready to have a full season, and ready to kind of come into camp as a competition for that back end piece, and that's all you can ask for. You get an opportunity, you get a uniform number, and now you come in a chance to win a job.
All right, well, we will not only see you Saturday, but we will see you in Fort Myers last week of February. So thank you, Liam.
Sounds good, guys. Come out to Fenway Fest. It should be a blast.
All right, that is Liam Hendricks. Great guy.
Great guy.
Yeah, he's a nice
the best.
Dude.
I like the Uber Eats order to the stadium.
Yeah.
See, young guy bring it.
But that is epically lazy. There's literally a Chipotle on Kilmarnock and Brookline.
Yeah.
It's not even 200 yards.
Yeah, but you got to get your treatment and everything. That's why I didn't know rookies showed up so early. Usually you tell one of them, hey, here's my Chipotle order. Don't mess it up. Because, you know, the guys are probably doing special things or whatever. You don't want to have to go out and fight the traffic and public.
Did you have the same pregame meal every time before a game?
No. We just ate whatever was in the hotel.
Were you superstitious, Wiggy? Would you?
No.
I was a little superstitious.
No, not at all. Wasn't superstitious at all.
By the way, the pregame meal was taken over by this Board of Health in Brockton when Shime's brother tried to cook.
Yeah, that guy was a jerk.
I did gamble on the plane, though.
He was a jerk.
What an a-hole.
He was.
What a dink.
Like, it's not like we were selling it.
You give someone a scintilla of power.
Yeah.
I did gamble on the plane, but never with the head coach.
Is that the most...
fact that...
On Mayo's part, that he would do that.
Yeah. I'd be like... First off, I'd be looking at him sideways if I was a player, like, really? You want to gamble with us? Yeah, this ain't... Something ain't sitting right. And the fact that if he went back there and did that... This goes back to the thing that Courtney always talk about... The coach wanting to be friends or be cool or fit in.
I think, is the most.
I can't even imagine that because they sat up at first class is where all the coaches sat and, you know, GMs in front office. And then all the media people, you know, they would sit like, and then the rest of us would be back at the plane. You know, we'd be gambling on the way home. We'd be gambling
having
and drinking.
Having
some drinks. Yeah. But to have the head coach and we'd be talking crazy-ish, and for the head coach to be back there in on some of these conversations.
Maybe it's changed.
Yeah, you think?
All right, well.
You think? Hey, Mayo, no IOU. I want my money now.
Right. It's like when Ken sat with us at that pub in the Cape, and then we had set with the whole tab.
That is strange, though. That is the craziest thing I ever heard, if that is true.
What was your go-to card game?
Hooray for the Poo-ray.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That is this craziest thing, though, if that is true.
Santo likes the 1.5 card monster.
Stop it. Stop. Stop it.
Poor Santo.
I'm not bringing him up ever again. Oh, that's it. Late. I'm glad you guys enjoyed it. It was 3.5 years.
I told you what you have to do. You now have to.
Are you familiar with 3.5?
Oh! Courtney, you have to.
I mean, you gave it to me on a silver platter.
You have to leak.
It loses a little weight.
You
and
have
then
to leak a pitcher. That puts him in
no,
positive light.
No, I'm not leaking
light.
Anything.
It we're doesn't
not,
have to be
no,
full
I'm,
on.
No, I'm not talking about Santo's manhood anymore.
Maybe there's
we are all set in that. That in
maybe
that
there's
department.
A pair of sweatpants.
We are all done.
That fit,
all done.
Fit him right. Just leak a picture.
All done.
A pair of sweatpants picture, like a gray sweatpants.
We're done.
Leak something. Poor Santo. I mean,
you
now
know
that,
what? I'll give you a sourdough
stop.
Loaf that he can stuff down there.
They have those things, Curtis. What are we doing
stop.
With the DP2000?
Oh, I got that
it's
still
done.
In the office.
It's done. It's done.
Go. You want me to stop the show
yes,
right now?
Yes, it's okay. Over.
All right, we're out.
See you tomorrow.
All right, see you tomorrow. Thank you, Jones. Oh, what? Oh, yeah.
Hey, by the way, we need Mitch for tomorrow. By the way, Mitch does an amazing job every day.
Yes.
We need that death stare from Courtney, and I need it now.
We have like 100 Hill Notes on
okay.
The topic that
well,
we didn't play.
Thank you. We're done. We're that was play, today. Very fun. We're moving on.
Shime chose not to play. I
thank
think
you,
you
Shime.
Should give Shime credit
thank you,
Shime. He chose not to
yeah,
play
you're welcome.
Those.
Thank you.
We just ran out of time.
Didn't run out of space.
Where can right. I listen to those?
We'll listen play it tomorrow.
Tomorrow morning.
No.
I thought Courtney said no.
We are not.
I mean,
WEEI's coverage of the football postseason is brought to you by Y Snacks. No one does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Y Snacks. And you get a lot of that next with Jones and Keith. Thank you for listening.